You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Morning, church. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Look in verses 13 through 21. We are making our way through our series, Managing Our Mess, a biblical picture on stewardship. And we've got today's message, and we've got one more message to go after that. The title of today's message is Don't Feed the Monster. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. I like seeing all the hustle and bustle of kids in the church, because that means there's kids in the church, praise the Lord. So that's a good thing. That's worth clapping about. I could hear a little better clapping than that. That's okay, that's all right. Praise God for a little saints. The story is told of a son who absolutely loved his father, and he wanted to get his father the greatest present that he could think of because he wanted to show his appreciation and love for him. And so Christmas was coming up, so he said, I've got to look the far and wide for this present. And so eventually he comes across this parakeet. And this parakeet wasn't just a regular parakeet. It was a special parakeet. And it could sing, it could whistle, and it could even speak five different languages. And so this man said, I've got to get this parakeet for my father. This will show him how much I love him. And so he sends the bird there to him for Christmas, and he calls his dad, and he says, hey, Dad, how did you like the gift? And the dad says, son, it was fantastic. It was delicious. Right? He didn't understand the nature of the gift. Now, we're going to talk about a subject that a lot of people really don't like. I want to make sure I'm very clear about this. If we're talking about the biblical stewardship of money and our finances, and particularly looking at materialism. So if you're a first-time guest here, there's biblical truth that applies to you, but the stuff where we say, hey, we need to have special things where you can plug in this church, that's something that you can work on in the future. But right now, we want to bless you. We don't want to take from you. We want to bless you. But for believers, we want to bless you, but we also want to bless you through the service of giving. And so making sure that we're clear on that in this passage. You see, biblical stewardship that we talked about for several weeks includes being faithful with our time, talents, and treasure. All that we are, all that we have, belongs to God. So believers, looking at this passage particularly, must be on their guard against the false gods of materialism and greed. So look with me in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge and arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable, saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We've worshiped you through song and through giving, and so now we worship you through the study of your word. Lord, please speak to us. Meet with us this very moment. Help this not to be a box that we check, but that we've had a meeting with the living God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The point number one is beware of the monster of materialism in verses 13 through 15. Beware of the monster of materialism. See, advertising is designed to get you to buy things we don't need with money we don't have, to impress people we don't know, to find happiness where it cannot be found. Is that a great way to describe advertising? On television, the printed page, the display window, the showroom, or the Joneses' driveway, we're always tempted towards what we do not have. Scripturally speaking, money is neither good nor bad in itself. Corrupt people use money corruptly, and they've done many evil things in this world. But good people, righteous people, have used money and wealth for good and righteous purposes. Money is like nitroglycerin that can be used to save somebody from a heart attack, and it can be also used to blow up a bridge, right? There are good uses and bad uses for it. The Bible never condemns wealth. The Bible condemns the abuse of wealth. So let's look at our verses for today, specifically look at verses 13 and 14. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge and arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Jesus is not saying that he has no ability or can't judge people properly. What he is saying is that he hadn't come there to bring, he came to bring men to God and not bring property to men. So this is not what I've come here to discuss with this guy. So then Jesus tells this lesson, and then he begins telling a parable, and we'll look at that here in a minute. But Jesus warns men to be ever watchful for the insidious sin of materialism. Now we have to understand that this opposed the cultural values in that time, and you know what? It opposes what our world values now. To get more stuff than somebody else, not just get stuff, but get more stuff. When you get more stuff than them, that is what ultimately is going to bring satisfaction to your soul. Now, it's rarely proposed that way, but that's really the end game. That's what they mean. That's what our culture prizes above all things. See, materialism is considering material possessions more important than spiritual values. Throughout Scripture, you see the dichotomy. They make or uses different words. They'll say we are not to focus on the perishable or the imperishable and the perishable. They use this word like temporal and eternal. And all the while, we are to be keeping our mind on things above, not on things below. But you and I, we all feel this pull towards materialism, whether or not we realize it or not. And that's why Jesus said, be on your guard. It's not going to hit you over the head with a club. This is something that you're not going to be expecting, that you're not seeing, but it's going to pull you nonetheless. Now, some of you know this, some of you don't, but I grew up in Florida, and so we swam in the beaches all the time, and the current could get so strong sometimes that, man, you would get in, you'd get to swimming, playing and splashing and frolicking and all the fun things people do in water. That's what I do, right? And before you know it, you'd look up, and you were 100 yards down the shoreline. And the place where all your stuff was just over there. And you think, how'd that happen? I was just swimming, minding my own business. But this quiet, subtle pull had pulled you all the way without you ever realizing. That's why Jesus says, be on your guard. Because materialism, the desire to fill our hearts with things and stuff over eternal significance, is a pull that we all feel. And most of the time, we don't feel the pull when it actually is happening. But it's always happening. Every time we turn on the TV and all the other things we just mentioned. The principle is simple here, is don't be deceived that believing possessions bring lasting joy. And the crucial part of that is lasting joy, because money can bring happiness. I heard somebody say, well, money can't bring happiness, but money can buy a jet ski, and nobody's ever sat on a jet ski. And you know what? That's true, right? But the truth of the matter is, this isn't not talking about temporal, fleeting pleasures. Of course, money can do that. But lasting joy can never be offered by the material possessions of this world. See, Christians are not exempt from this deception. It's like a plague, young and old. We can all fall prey to it. And Jesus' point isn't never have nice things. He's just saying do not become enslaved to them. He said the way that we combat that is we give them to God. So he's not saying don't have a nice house or a nice car or nice shoes or anything like that. He's saying when you have these things, these possessions that God has given, because of all that we have, all that we are belongs to God. And right, so we give those things back to God. So when we have a nice house, a nice pool, we give those to the Lord. And that's also a plug for our teenagers to be coming to our water in the Word, right? So we're doing that right now. And people in this church have opened up their very nice homes with their very nice pools. And we've been able to swim in them for the glory of God. And so, A, if you're a teenager, make sure you come to that. And B, if you have a house and a pool, if we don't need it this summer, we'll need it next summer. But make sure that you are using what you've got for God's glory. You have a nice car? Great. More power to you. Go pick somebody up and bring them to church with you. Don't let your things enslave you. The Bible says over and over again that we are to live like pilgrims. We should learn not to hold on to things too tightly. That we have responsibility as believers to know Him and make Him known. That's our goal in life, right? Is to know Him and make Him known. That's what we need to do personally. That's our goal of this church, is to know Jesus Christ and all His fullness and to make Him known. Don't get sidetracked by all the things that materialism will have to pull you toward. And maybe you've read these stories or not, but there's a stories by Max Lucado. Follows the character of a guy named Punchinello. And Punchinello is this little kind of wooden puppet that's made by the maker. And so they call them Wemmicks. And they live in this little Wemmicksville. And have y'all ever heard of this? Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. Okay, all right. So it's a real book and a real author, Max Lucado, right? And so it's this incredible story that teach children some very profound truths. And so one of the stories, Punchinello, who's pictured there, he was originally spending time with Eli, who was the maker in Wemmicksville. But then he got busy and got away from him. And he noticed there that several other Wemmicks, they started painting their nose green. And he thought, well, that's sort of a ridiculous thing. And then after spending time with Eli said, yeah, I don't really know why they like to do that, but a girl said, oh, you would look good with your nose green one day. And that was all Punchinello needed to know. And so Punchinello finally gave in. And so him and his buddies, they painted their little wooden noses green. And they felt so great. They felt so accepted. They walked around the town with their green noses very high in the air. And they looked at them with mirrors. And they were very proud of how green their noses were. And they couldn't believe that other people wouldn't have their nose green like theirs. But as with all trends, before he knew it, he was walking around and people's noses were blue. They thought, oh man, this person doesn't know anything. Then he started looking around and realized that other people's noses were blue and that his nose was green. And before you know it, everybody's nose, the new trend with everybody's nose would be blue. And then they had to paint it to yellow and so on and so forth. And he realized the emptiness of this. And so he finally goes back to Eli at the end, his maker, and realized that all this silliness, all this trying to keep up with people was something that he could not do. And so in a painful process, he had to have his nose sanded back down, and it has a little tear and a little Wemmick side. And I think how true is that of us, that we are so pulled here and there by every new trend, always trying to keep up with people. As of yet, I don't think people paint their noses, but we have every other way that we try to keep up with each other. These TV shows, this is what your kitchen and bathroom is supposed to look like. This is what your clothes are supposed to look like. This is what your hair is supposed to look like. This new car is different than the other car because it has a little bit of a different curve in it. And so before we know it, we're pulled all along by all these materialistic ideals. And we can never keep up and we can never be satisfied. You see, nothing reveals our spiritual relationship with God like our attitude towards money, possessions, and things. Because money represents our value. We have to ask yourself, what do you value? I'm not asking you what you would say that you value. I'm saying, what does your pocketbook and your heart say that you value? Because the two are always lined up. They never separate from each other. That's why Jesus spoke about money more than any other things in his parable. Any other object lesson, Jesus points towards money, because not Jesus isn't concerned about money, but he is concerned about people's hearts. What do you value? Things of this world or the things of the next? Beware of the monster of materialism. Beware of trying to satisfy your heart with things. It doesn't work, and it'll keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do. Look at point number two with me. We see, beware the monster of greed, 16-21. So after Jesus has told us about this, he says, beware that your life it doesn't consist of all the junk that you have. Then he tells a story to reiterate this point. Look with me in verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. I will store all my grain and my goods. We'll come to the rest of it here in a little bit. We know, so the word parable literally means that it combines two of the original words in the Bible of beside and cast. So this is a story cast alongside the truth being taught. Now, our teenagers should know this quite well, because on Wednesday nights, we've been going through parables. So you should know what a definition of a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Isn't that right, teenagers? That's right. Y'all know that? Okay, good. I got a thumbs up. That's good. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So the rich man in this story has a greedy heart, which leads to many other problems. We see that he was successful, and there's certainly nothing wrong with being successful, but he was selfish. And he thought of nobody else and no one else but himself. You see, greed is an insatiable desire and lust for more. Not just a lust, but a lust for more. Greed leads to discontent, false security, and temporary values, as we'll see in the rest of this passage. Here's the thing about greed. It's hard to tell if you're being greedy, right? It's not hard to tell if you're having adultery. Hey, whoa, you're not my wife. I need a, whether this is, I know what I'm doing, right? Greed, that's trickier. There's a lot of gray area if we're not careful. It has a lot to do with the heart. Hard to tell if we're being greedy. Be on your guard. Maybe you've heard the parable of the dog who had this nice big steak bone, and he going across the bridge, and in the water he sees another dog with a bigger bone, and he thinks that he wants that. The dog doesn't realize that it's just his reflection, and so he drops his bone to try to get the other bone and gets neither. And this is how greed works. It fills the heart for a little while, but always an insatiable greed cannot be filled. And so we grab and we grab and we end up with nothing in the end. Look at me at 16 through 18. We see the rich man had more than enough. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops. He said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, where I will store all my grains and my good. So he had more than enough, but he was discontent. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So instead of saying, all right, I've had a banner year, I'm going to go ahead and take care of, make sure my kids are well taken care of. I'm going to make sure these poor beggars that we see all around Israel, I'm going to make sure that they're taken care of. No, he said, I've had more, and so I've got this big old house, so I'm just going to build a bigger one to store all of my stuff to get. This is the world's solution to this hole, this hunger that we have in our heart. It is to feed the monster. That's the title of the message. Are y'all with me? So he said, okay, I've got a need. I've got plenty. And instead of saying, hey, praise God, I'm satisfied. No, he's still hungry. And so he has to feed the monster more. And so he builds his barns even bigger. Now we know from the end of the story that he has an end that comes in a hurry, so it changes his plans. But I think very truly he would have built one barn and then built another barn because he's feeding a monster that cannot be satisfied. The greed monster is never full. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Rhea said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I hope y'all heard that. But keep your life free from the love of money. He didn't say don't have money. He said don't love money. But then Jesus says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Now, if you read this passage, you might say, keep your life free from love of money. Be content with what you have. Because God's blessed you greatly. That might be what you might think how it says. But Jesus says, no. He says, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. He said, there is something so much greater than the wealth and the toys and tools of this world. He says, I give you myself. I give you me. I give you the Savior who actually can satisfy. He says, I give you me. This is what brings contentment to a discontented heart. Jesus said, I will give you myself. See, contentment is the result of placing our cares in the hands of our sovereign, loving Heavenly Father. Contentment is the result of placing our cares in the hands of our sovereign, loving Heavenly Father. You struggle with discontent. Understand, you won't feel it by getting more stuff, getting a family, getting a wife, getting a bigger house, getting a promotion. Those things don't fill the heart. Some of those things are good things, but it's only Christ and Christ alone that fills the human heart. Look at me in verse 19. And this is what the rich man, he said. He said, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many treasures. Relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. The rich man placed his trust in his wealth. This is false security. Greed leads to false security. Discontent, discontentment, and false security. He says, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Is this not our world's philosophy summed up in just a couple of words? Hey man, you did it. You got it. You got money. You got riches. You got relaxation. You got a little R&R. That's it. You done it. Now relax. Go drive around the country. Collect shells on the beach. Do something else meaningless with the rest of your life. That's what our world says. Eat, drink, be merry. Take it easy. Is that a biblical concept? See, the most coveted address in America is Easy Street. And everybody wants to live on. Some trust in countries, some trust in companies, and some trust in their capital, but they are all false security. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have ever been camping before, but when you go camping, you put this little, particularly in bear country, which I guess there is some around here, and so you put your little flimsy nylon tent around you, and you lay down where wild animals roam free, and you cook some food, and then you zip yourself up in this little paper thin tent, and then you warm yourself up in this toasty sleeping bag, and you feel secure. But did you know a grizzly bear's claws are 4 inches long? All you've done is gift wrapped yourself. It's like one of those rotisserie chicken things that you see at Walmart. That's all you've done for bears. It is a false security. That could lead to a lot of trouble. If we're not careful, we'll place our trust, we'll place our hope in things that are false security. Christ will not fail, falter, flee, or fall. We can trust Him. Trust Christ, not things. And lastly, we see the rich man had temporary values. Look at verse 20. It said, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So this is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." In all his planning, the rich fool forgot one thing. Maybe he forgot many things, but he forgot one particular thing in this passage. Mortality. Mortality. I'll build bigger barns. I'll get richer and richer. God says, "You fool. Your life is required of you tonight. Who's gonna get all your stuff now?" Forgot all the other things he planned. Maybe he was a smart businessman. Maybe he worked hard and that's the way he got where he's at. But all his planning, all his factoring, he forgot that he would die. He only had temporary values. He wasn't thinking about eternity. The Bible tells us in this particular passage that this one who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. To be rich toward God, this is a synonym for treasure in heaven. We see in different passages in this gospel. I'm going to just tell you this, church, if you are not investing beyond this life, you are not investing well. I guarantee you there's people in this church who know a lot more about investing and more power to you. Jesus said that's what the Bible says, that we should plan, we should count the cost. That's important. But friend, if you are only investing in this life, then you are not investing well. We invest serving God and His kingdom. Let me close with this story. This is a true story. One of my friends who was a pastor several decades ago at this point, and he had a girl in his church come to him and say, "Hey, can you please go and talk to my grandpa? He's very sick and lives in California." And he says, "Okay, no problem." And so he went there to this particular person's house. Now, what my friend didn't know at the time, well, this guy was the sixth richest person in California at that time. So he goes up to the house, a bigger house than he's ever seen in his entire life, and the butler comes to the door, which is something I can't relate to. Except for being a butler, I could relate to that. But then, Osprey knocks on the door, and the guy says, "Hey, he's not feeling well. You know, he's very sick. He'll come back tomorrow." He says, "Okay." So he comes back tomorrow, and he meets with this guy, and he talks for several hours with this particular gentleman. And so the man, who's extremely wealthy, says, "You know, that me and God have this deal. I have all this stuff, and God wants me to take care of it." And so my friend shared the gospel with him, and the man very clearly said, "Hey, that's not the deal I have with God." And then my friend did his best to plead with him for his soul and left, and 2 hours later the man was dead, and all of his stuff was somebody else. And so my friend spoke at this guy's funeral. The governor of California was there, and many other high-ranking politicians were there. And at this funeral, the man had his song played by Frank Sinatra. Now, generally, I'm a big Frank Sinatra fan, but I don't like this song. It says, "I did it my way." The problem is, his way was different than God's way. And it resolved to nothing more and a wasted life. Maybe he invested well in this life, but he did not invest well in the next. Remember, friends, we are stewards of our treasure and we must use it wisely. We are stewards of the gifts that God has given us. Yes, we are stewards of our time. We want to be using our time well for God. We want to be using our talents, our gifts, the spiritual abilities God has given us. We want to make sure we're using those well. But God has given us treasure that we are supposed to use for His kingdom and for His glory. And so Jesus resoundingly says in this passage, beware of the false god of materialism. Many believers have bought this lie. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's Word. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to beware of the philosophies about money and wealth that our world regularly espouses. I'm telling you, the world's philosophy and understanding about money and wealth do not line up with what Scripture says. They say, get, make yourself look great, die with the most toys. Right? That's what our world says. That's not what the Bible says. We need to make sure that we're regularly checking our hearts, particularly because it is a quiet, subtle temptation that pulls us. If we're not realizing it, we say, you know, before I know it, I've placed all my time, money, and effort into something that doesn't matter. I'm actually, the reason why I'm doing this is to keep up with this person or to impress this person. Check your heart often. Yeah, we all need things to exist, but be careful. Beware of why we get things and what we do with them. Combat worldly ideas with godly virtues. Trust God. Scripture says some people trust in chariots. And back in the old days, that meant a lot. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That money and time, talents and treasure, they are simply tools and the hands that God has given me that I can use for His kingdom and His glory. So God, give me wisdom. Give me the heart to see. Give me the willingness to be obedient. Help me to trust God. Help me not to fill up my soul with things that will not fill the soul up with anything other than Jesus Christ. But boy, we are tempted to do so. Combat worldly ideas with godly virtues by trusting God, giving generously to other people. Does that characterize your life? Would this shirt, if I added a poll of people in the restaurants around town, they say, man, that church is a giving church. The waiters would say, hey, man, praise God. I love it when Sabino Road comes here. Are you just a bean counter, man? Not generous at all. Always Scrooge just hanging on to everything. No. We want to be generous to other people. And just so I'm painfully clear about this, church members, we need you to be giving regularly to this church. And a special gift every once in a while is fine. Praise God for that. But if we want to do the work that we want God to do through this church, we need church members to be giving regularly to this church. If you are doing that, praise God. Keep doing it. And then pray how you can be generous in other areas in your life. But if you're not doing that, A, you're not obeying what God has told you to do about your money. And B, you're robbing yourself of the experience of joining in all facets of your life to kingdom service. Because the wallet and the heart, they lined up. Make sure you're giving faithfully to this church and elsewhere as God leads. I encourage you, friends. I don't know everybody here. Make sure you're building your life on Christ and not barns. Can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you die tonight that you know where that you would spend eternity? This rich fool, I think the Bible's pretty clear where he was going to spend eternity, separated from a God that he cared nothing about. Where will you spend eternity? The Bible says the answer to that question is very simple. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Not have you come to church, not have you given to an offering plate, not if you're a church member, but What have you done with Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life when you have turned from sin, turned from yourself, turned from yourself of being your own Savior? Ask for Christ's forgiveness. Trusted Him to be your Savior, the one who died on the cross in your place to make you right with God. You've turned from your sin. You've trusted the Savior. Have you ever done that? Friend, if you haven't, do it today. Come forward. Talk with me when we stand and sing. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love for you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say, I can't do that, Pastor. We've got cards in the pews, and I want you to make sure you fill those out. We can talk afterward. But don't leave here unsure where you'll spend eternity. Don't build your life on barns. Build it on the Savior. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you help us to be faithful stewards in all aspects of our life. Lord, forgive us how we are so easily pulled to and fro by the trends of this world, and we waste our time, we waste our money, we waste our efforts on things that don't matter. Help us to invest in eternity. Help us to trust you. Lord, help those who don't know you to trust you today. Lord, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.